Your Atlanta Braves even up the series with the New York Mets, a 6-5 final that got a little sketchy toward the end of the game. But Rossiel Iglesias closes it out. Ronald Acuna has a big day. Ozzie Albies, another big day. The top of the lineup coming through in the clutch. And we are here to break it all down. From the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, this is the Braves Report presented by Kroger, the podcast that takes you inside the clubhouse and gives you the stories behind the score. I'm Barrett Salee, hanging out in the heart of Braves country, and it is a happy, little rainy Braves country because last night at Truist Park, the Braves jumped out to a huge lead, little sketchy, late in the game, but a win is a win no matter how it looks, and let's be honest, it was pretty sloppy down the stretch. But there's a lot of good news, specifically in the third inning, six straight singles. Yes, some runs maybe left on the board, but the bats were cooking, especially early. And this is what you want to see from these Braves. Six hits between Austin Riley, Ozzie Albies, and Ronald Acuna Jr. The table setters are there. And that's a good thing because most importantly, Ronald Acuna Jr. got cooking. Now, is he the Ronnie of old? No. And he said so at the podium that, you know what, his knee's not hurting him, but he joked that he hadn't had many stolen bases because he hadn't been on base all that much, which is true. He has not been on base all that much. Certainly behind his on-base percentage averages up until this game. In fact, after this game, a little bit better than normal, which is a little surprising, honestly. That number jumped out to me. But Ronnie continues to do Ronnie things. And a reminder, let's explore the world of cooking with Kroger Chef Jr. Join us at your local Kroger, where the Kroger chefs will teach your kids how to make fun and tasty recipes. Saturday, April 13th or the 20th, your kids can learn how to make a festive Earth Day fruit snack. Each Kroger Chef Jr. is a 30-minute class where your child receives an apron and a patch, a chef's hat, recipe card, and holder with a whisk for only $7 per child. Register for your time period today at KrogerChefJr.com. Look, I think this game should calm the nerves of people who were maybe a little bit frustrated with Ronald Acuna Jr. He said in the postgame that the knee that he hurt in the spring was not a problem. But it's a game like this, getting on every at-bat in all four trips to the plate, hit by pitch, single, walk, single. Three stolen bases. This can get you going. This is kind of like what we hear about with a good defensive player, a couple good defensive plays translating to the offensive side of the ball. That's a real thing. That's a real thing. And three stolen bases in one game is something that he can build off of. Why? Because it's rare. Not only for Ronald, but for the Braves as a whole. He is the 13th player in the franchise's modern history with multiple outings of at least three stolen bases. Only one Brave has done that this century other than Ronald Acuna Jr. I could give you 1,000 guesses and you would not land on who it is. It's Jordan Schaefer. Jordan Schaefer, there's a name that we haven't heard in a long time. But to me, Ronald is set to break out. This is a guy that I think, even though he struggled, he's always been the heart and soul of this team. And now he's feeling comfortable. And a comfortable Ronald is a scary Ronald. And here is Ozzie Albies on with Wiley Boward from Bally Sports after the game, talking a little bit about what Acuna means to this team.
Oh, it's really special and important for the whole team. You know, when he gets on, it gets everybody going already. He can do a lot of good things on the base pass. Like you saw tonight, he stole three bags and scored. I mean, all the runs we can put on to win a game, it's important.
Ronald wasn't the only story on Tuesday night. And in fact, I would say he wasn't the biggest story. Yes, he's going to draw the pub, but Ronaldo Lopez's performance is far more important considering what has happened over the course of the beginning of the season. Six innings, three hits, three walks, six strikeouts. And man, those six strikeouts were pretty. He had the slider working. He was locating. He had Mets hitters fooled all night long. A lot of soft contact, too. So that's back-to-back performances from Ronaldo Lopez. And there were back-to-back performances that I don't think anybody saw coming. And with what has gone on with Strider out, with Fried's struggles, having a guy like Ronaldo Lopez, who was signed to be a relief pitcher, gets a chance, earns a chance to be in the starting rotation, and now is almost like a glue guy, bridging the gap between what is known and what is unknown in terms of what you're going to get from your now fifth starter hole after Lopez moves up to the fourth starter. And so now I think that that's a little comforting. And yes, we've talked about Ronaldo Lopez on the show a bunch. He's almost like an adopted mascot of the Braves report. Love that dude. Love him even more after what we saw on Tuesday night. So yeah, the bullpen got sketchy late. And look, yes, that's two straight games where the bullpen has nearly given us some health issues. Really, it was just Matzik and Iglesias. Remember when we hated Aaron Bummer? He pitched a clean inning, gave up two hits, but he got out of it. Matzik struggled, obviously gave up the homer to Pete Alonso, but are you really concerned about Matzik? I'm not. I trust Tyler Matzik. Even after the injury, he's in good graces forever, but he has pitched well this season. It was just a bad outing. So I'm not worried about the bullpen. And it's, I mean, look, it's the Mets picked things up. They got a series win last weekend. Monday has to be just a monkey off their back because, let's be honest, they had no business being in that game but found a way. And you got more of it tonight. So not worried about that. What I am worried about, and this is something that, I don't know if we're going to get anything from Allen Winans. Allen Winans was announced as the starter tonight against the Mets. And of course, that was the Strider hole. And I'll be honest, I'm a little disappointed it's not somebody else. I wasn't disappointed that he came up, that he was the guy who got called up, because I figured he could be the guy in the bullpen, the long guy in the bullpen, because you had used a lot of long guys in the bullpen. But to me, he's not the answer regardless. I still think it's going to be Smith Shawver or Bryce Elder or somebody else. He's down on my list of pitchers who will help us sort of get through the rocky period, navigate those waters. And certainly I don't think he should be the first guy to get that shot. We did see him last year, six games. They were not very eventful, 5.29 ERA. And I know wins and losses don't really matter, but he was 1-2. Take that for what it's worth. Gave up 37 hits in 32 and a third. So we'll see, but I think in a critical game like this, you don't want to be in a situation where you could split with the Mets, because the Mets are not a very good team. But you're sending this dude out? I don't know. I don't love it. I think he has a chance to prove me wrong, which I am 100% on. I'd be thrilled if he does that. But to me, I view this as you're putting pieces of a puzzle together 30 innings from a pitcher at a time, right? You get 30 from Winans. You get 30 from Smith Shawver. You get 30 from Elder. You get 30 from whoever, Vines. You're trying to put all of this stuff together to try to figure out if you need to go get somebody at the All-Star or at the trade deadline. And we will actually talk about the trade deadline a little bit later in the show when we get to questions from the fans. But to me, that's kind of how I look at it. And maybe it's just because my kids love jigsaw puzzles and we did one the other night and my mind is sort of stuck in, oh my God, this is freaking impossible territory. But I think of all of this, like you put the corner pieces together first of a jigsaw puzzle, right? You put the ends, the flat edges around first. I don't see him. I don't see Winans as that. I see him as sort of that messy middle where, yeah, you can get four or five pieces together, but you're still kind of looking at the puzzle going, what the hell is this? That's kind of where I am right now. We'll take a break. You're listening to the Braves Report presented by Kroger right here on the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
What's so great about being a Kroger Boost member? Free delivery on the Kroger products you love and more rewards too, like double fuel points on everything you buy. Experience a new level of membership starting as low as $59 a year with Boost by Kroger Plus. Learn more at Kroger.com today.
When you're looking for leading cardiac treatment, look to Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with 5 emergency cardiac care centers, so we're here when you need us most. We lead with more than 55 locations in Georgia. That means we're always in the heart of your neighborhood. We lead with clarity, because clear direction is better when it comes to understanding every step of your treatment. Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with heart.
Hey, Braves Report listeners, we've got a great offer. So listen and listen close, because this is the South's biggest deal. For a limited time, subscribe and you'll get digital access to the AJC for just $1.99 per week for life. That's right, $1.99 for life, as long as you keep your subscription. That includes our sports and politics coverage, breaking news, in-depth investigations, food and dining, and more from the AJC every single day. And yes, that is for life. You'll also unlock access to our app, exclusive films, events, and newsletters. Subscribe now by going to ajc.com/start. That's ajc.com/start. A great deal for Greater Atlanta. This is for new subscribers only. So let's go back to Monday night, because Braves fans, and myself included, were extremely disappointed with what happened in that 8-7 loss to the Mets, because, I mean, look, you jump out to a 4-0 lead, everything seems to be working, and then 3 runs in the 8th, you have chances in the bottom of the 8th and bottom of the 9th, and neither of them are fruitful. And to me, you have to admire this team's effort, because there, I know things didn't work out in the 8th and the 9th, and there were plenty of chances. It's not going to work every single time. It's still really hard to hit a round ball with a round bat. And the fact that the fight was there, to me, shows that nothing's changed. And that's a good thing. That's positivity out of a negative event. And generally, by nature, I'm a positive person. So I'm okay with the Braves fighting in a game that seemed out of reach by like the 6th or 7th. I mean, to me, that game, and look, I was there with my family. I drove separately with my 8-year-old daughter from 8U Battle Biscuits practice at Ryan Park softball. And my wife and my 12-year-old were already there. And my wife took my daughter home. My son and I were like, you know, this is kind of getting sketchy. It's a school night. We might need to go get up with the get down on this. So we decided to stay. It was frustrating, but it was exciting. And to me, that's okay. And part of the reason that it was exciting is a guy who has been absolutely phenomenal all season long, and that is Marcell Ozuna. 2 for 5. Yes, he struck out twice, one in a critical situation. But Ozuna is a guy who I think is the critical piece to this lineup. He's a guy who I think, when all is said and done, if the Braves are able to win the World Series, you're going to have Marcell Ozuna be a superstar. And I'm not talking about Ronald Acuna level superstar, maybe not even Austin Riley level superstar, but that guy who carried you for multiple prolonged stretches over the course of a few seasons since he signed with the Braves. You know, I think you look back at last year, would they have built that massive lead in the division without Marcell Ozuna? Absolutely not. Did he carry the team at times during the COVID year? Yes. Did he carry the team at times during the 2021 season before things fell apart? Sure. So Marcell Ozuna has to be that dude. And here is Snit after the game talking a little bit about Ozuna and what he has meant to his team, especially on Monday night in the loss to the Mets.
It's consistent and you know, he's seeing the ball good and slowing the game down and you know, it's kind of what that guy has done his whole career, really. And so that's great. I mean, I think he's just kind of doing what he's capable of doing.
And like I said before, this is, you know, he's the key piece because there are no breaks. I think we've seen throughout the course of the season, there really are no breaks in the lineup. When you get to the middle of the order, you have to deal with Ozuna. If it's not Ozuna, you got to deal with Michael Harris. And even at the bottom of the order, and we've talked about this on this show countless times, you have Kelnick and Arcia doing what they've been doing. Now, they've cooled, each of them have cooled a little bit, but that's okay. You know, that's they're the eighth and the ninth batter. And if they're hitting 270 and a threat in the home run department, you're fine, right? So Brian Snicker talked a little bit about just how this lineup has shaken out and just how good it can possibly be.
You know, these guys keep coming at you. I mean, having good at bat after good at bat and keeping the line moving. And you know, teams know that. That these guys aren't ever going to be down or out in a game, as we've seen. You know, it's a tough ride, regardless of how many runs we're down, because these guys just keep fighting.
And you know, I think through all of this, and this is, I guess, the Marcell Ozuna segment of the show, Marcell Ozuna appreciation segment. Why can't he be considered the MVP if he puts up comparable numbers to his teammates? Because, yeah, Austin Riley gets all the love. Yeah, Ronald Acuna gets all the pub. You know, those guys are awesome. Matt Olson, yes, they all get the pub. They are the faces of this team. But if Ozuna puts up numbers comparable to his teammates, and maybe not Acuna because Ozuna is very slow, but if he has a season like he's having right now or cools off a little bit, I mean, he's at 5 home runs, 12 RBIs right now. He leads the team. Leads the team by 5. Leads Acuna by 5, right? So I think right now, there's no doubt he's the MVP of this team. Could he be the MVP of the league? Yeah, I think he possibly could. Because the value to the team to keep this lineup moving over and over and over again, it really can't be replicated. And that is the end of the Marcell Ozuna segment of the show. But it's not the end of the discussion of Monday night's loss, because it was Hank Aaron night. And the pomp and circumstance, I mean, it was everywhere. You saw everybody with the bobbleheads. You saw Hank Aaron jerseys all over the place. There were special dedications and segments on the Jumbotron before and during the games. It was a very special night. The 7:15 cut into the center field grass. Ed Mangum and his crew do a great job with that. And I think it was a little bit of a sour note to lose, but I think overall, the celebration that the Braves had, and it wasn't just, you know, the Braves, MLB Network was there and they were broadcasting the game too. And the whole thing, even during the day on MLB Network, was all about Hank. And I think the Braves did a really good job of handling this in a way where everybody can appreciate it, because all the older people that knew Hank, they were all talking. I was in the game. I was sitting in my section. I was not in the press box. And the older folks around were like, I remember this. I remember that. That was, you know, he did so much and all this other stuff. And then the younger crowd's like, yeah, that guy's the home run king, not Barry Bonds, 755 forever, right? And then the younger kids are like, dang, look at Michael Harris's shoes. Those are clean. For those of you who didn't know, he had 44 on one side and 715 on the other. They looked awesome. And so the younger crowd, and my kid's not even a sneakerhead. Neither of them are. Well, my 8-year-old daughter might be trending in that direction. But, you know, it was a great way to connect. And the 7:15 in center field, my daughter loves the Braves, and she understood what it meant. She understood, hey, that, you know, that was like the 44 back in 2021. That's the same guy. It's just a different number. I was like, yeah, that's exactly right. But she's been around baseball and softball her whole life. there are a bunch of other kids who ask their parents for the first time, hey, what does that mean? And they have to, and the parents tell them, and or the grandparents tell them. And so it's a good way. I think they did a bunch of different things in a variety of different ways to connect a fan base that is, you know, remembers Hank for a variety of different reasons. And we had some sound from players. Here's Charlie Morton on Hank Aaron and the night that was on Monday.
The Braves are a franchise that are that honor their players the way they should. And I think that, you know, that's something in today. It's like, I think that we're very caught up in what we're doing right now. It's really nice to see that across baseball tonight that Hank was honored. And, you know, I think that this franchise does a great job with that. And, you know, in particular, I've played for a couple of franchises that do that. They really honor the people that have built the foundations of the organization, the shoulders that we stand on, and why the uniform, the organization, the fans, why the Atlanta Braves are what they are today, especially in baseball too. I mean, we're talking about one of the greatest, maybe the greatest player ever. So, you know, just to stand out there in the outfield, I'm warming up on the warning track because they had all the little signs out there for every single home run that he hit. I thought that was awesome. So to be able to be on the field tonight was special. I just wish I could have done a better job.
And Pierce Johnson obviously did not have a great outing. Personally, I did not think they should have put him in. The Snit should have put him in for the third time in 4 days. But that's neither here nor there, because here's Pierce Johnson, I should say, on Hank Aaron night.
It was spectacular. I thought it was extremely well done. They brought back a bunch of his former teammates, and just really cool. I mean, they had a sign for every one of his home runs. I mean, the place was flooded in the outfield. That was a really special moment. I'm glad I could be part of that.
All right, so we heard from Snit after Monday night's game about Spencer Strider, and it sounds like we're going to find something out over the weekend. And honestly, that's later than I thought it'd be. You know, I figured he would, you know, get there, get it taken care of Tuesday, Wednesday, get a diagnosis, and move on. Because I think everybody wants to move on, whether it be for the rest of the season or just for 15 days or for 2 months, whatever. So I'm surprised it's going to wait that long, but I think we all know where this is trending. He's ready for his second Tommy John surgery. Of course, he had one in college. And to me, that's what makes Wednesday's start so big. Wednesday's game, I should say, so big for the Braves. Because whatever happens, you're gonna need to rely on your bullpen. You're going to need your hitters to step up. You're going to need – there will be pressure on this team like – they haven't seen yet this year, because no matter who steps in, whether it's Bryce Elder, Darius Vines, Ian Anderson, when he gets healthy, you know, whoever, AJ Smith, Schauber, it's going to be, no one's getting 200 innings out of that guy, whoever it is. So the team is going to have to show up in those starts. And this will be a big test on Monday, on Wednesday night, I should say, on what post-Strider life might look like. But it got me thinking, and I've been thinking about this a lot, really, since getting into travel baseball with my 12-year-old, but more more so lately with the Strider stuff and what happened with Bieber and everything that's gone on with the MLBPA statement and the MLB statements on arm injuries and elbow injuries and pitch clock and all this other stuff. And there's been a lot of talk about how to fix it and what the problem is. And both of those things can be solved and addressed in one word, and that's money. And I know it's like, money? What does that have to do with anything? Well, it's pretty simple. The problem is money, and the solution is money, because the problem is when you're a high schooler or you're in college and you sign that contract and you can hit triple digits, you get a lot of money. You get a whole lot of money because that is what's desired. Coaches want players to crank up, pitchers to crank it up to 100, 101, and there are no more Greg Maddoxes. There are no more Jamie Moyers. I mean, like, the closest on the Braves roster is who? Bryce Elder? Which is, I mean, he was good at times last year. Obviously, he was an all-star, but faded off down the stretch. But you don't get guys who locate. You don't get guys who are mentally pitchers between the ears like Maddux because of the velocity. Why is the velocity a focus? Because of the money. But let's spin it backwards. All right. When I was a kid, back in my day, we were told don't throw a curveball until you've hit puberty. And we threw something called a slurve, which was basically a spinner. You throw it like a hanger, you throw it like a football. But, and I was always told, hey, that's the reason you have arm injuries when you get older. But now it's velo, now it's money, and it's the biggest reason. And look, my son plays 12U baseball. There are kids in 12U and 11U who are trying to crank it up to 75 miles an hour, not getting proper rest, pitching three times over a weekend in over a two-day stretch in a tournament. That is not healthy. And the reason they're doing it is because they want their kids, the coaches want to see their kids get that money to make their coaches feel better. The parents want the kids to do it so they can get that money, so the kid can get that money. But they're not thinking of the long-term health effects. And there are a lot of teams that do this. Luckily, our team, which are not very good, but they get proper rest. Pitchers get proper rest. They're not throwing three different games over a two-day stretch. But these teams that are like super serious, going to win every perfect game tournament, like the best teams, we're not going to mention organizations, but you can probably figure out in the Metro Atlanta which ones I'm talking about, all for coaches' glory, all for ring chasing, all that stuff. What ends up happening is they get burnt out. But the problem is, and this is the crux of it, it's all money, obviously, because everybody's chasing the money, and money comes with velocity, does not come with location. But the real thing is that if you have a Tommy John surgery and you already have that money, the money doesn't go with the arm, with the surgery. The money doesn't disappear. So I think high school coaches, travel coaches, private coaches, they all seem to, and even parents, seem to be okay with, hey, let's get them to the point where they're signing that early, that signing bonus, getting $5 million, or, you know, getting to the major leagues quicker because they can ramp it up to triple digits. And if they have to have surgery, fine, because A, you can come back for it and be successful, and B, you get that money in the front end. So is that worth it? And, you know, I kind of gone back and forth in my head about this. And the answer is no, most of the time. You can't tell people what to do with their money. But anytime you have surgery, it's scary, right? There can be something that goes wrong. There can be long-term effects that you're not aware of. And doctors can study it for years and years and years. And yeah, you know, you can say, hey, this is safe. It's not going to affect you moving forward. For most people, it might though. But ultimately, nothing's going to change. It's not the pitch clock. I don't think it's the pitch clock. Nothing's going to change until there is monetary value on pitching like Greg Maddux. Not as good as Greg Maddux, but pitching like Greg Maddux as an 11-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-old. Let's just use my son for an example. If my son can go out there and throw 60 and locate, and can pitch, is smart between the ears, if that can be as financially successful in the draft process as triple digits, then things will change. Until then, nothing's going to change. All right, we got one fan question that we're going to answer. This is from Sam J. Franco on the X machine. Will the Braves be looking for another arm via trade? No. There's no reason to go via trade to get somebody unless you have intel, unless AA has intel on a dude that nobody else has. And I just don't think that's the case right now. And plus, you have so much time. Here's the thing right now. You hate that Strider got hurt, but if it's going to happen, it happened the right time. Because now, essentially, and the Braves are in a good spot here. It's a luxury what they have in terms of three different guys, top three in Gwinnett, having significant major league experience, and plenty others out there that you could promote, maybe prematurely. You're probably not, though. But the Braves can sit here and say, all right, Elder, give me three starts. Smith-Shawver, give me three starts. Vines, give me three starts. Pitcher X, give me three starts. And let them audition. And you don't have that luxury, A, if Strider's injury happens later, or B, you don't have a lineup like the Braves. So I don't think they will be looking for a pitcher via trade, because they will get enough out of a rotating, revolving door of quad A pitchers to at least keep things stable at that number five spot. And if I'm wrong, got plenty of time. Got 3 months. Is that right? I went to Auburn. May, June, July. Yeah, 3 months. They don't teach us math at Auburn. Almost more than 3 months, actually. But yeah, they got time. Luxury of time. Not many teams have it. But the Braves do. That will just about wrap it up here from the studio. The Braves report from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. The spacious studios of the satellite office of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, which is my house. It's still spacious, though. It's nice and dressed up these days. But that'll do it. Thank you guys for listening. Please send us a 5-star review, 1-star review. Let us know what we're doing right. Let us know what we're doing wrong. I think one thing that is important to me here, and it's been important to me throughout my career in radio, TV, writing, whatever, is I want to hear what you don't like. And you can be mean about it, too. I don't care. But it helps everybody learn. Constructive criticism to me is very important. So if you like the show, 5 stars, let us know why. If you don't like it, let me know why too. I think it'd be very cool. Be a fun little exercise. Until next time, have a great, great couple of days, Braves Country.
What's so great about being a Kroger Boost member? Free delivery on the Kroger products you love, and more rewards too. Like double fuel points on everything you buy. Experience a new level of membership starting as low as $59 a year with Boost by Kroger Plus. Learn more at Kroger.com today.
When you're looking for leading cardiac treatment, look to Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with 5 emergency cardiac care centers, so we're here when you need us most. We lead with more than 55 locations in Georgia. That means we're always in the heart of your neighborhood. We lead with clarity, because clear direction is better when it comes to understanding every step of your treatment. Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with heart.